Now, are you someone that considers themselves to be a good sleeper? I, for one, am not. Sleep, it's one of the most fundamental things we do, obviously, from a biological perspective, but yet it remains a consistent source of debate, confusion, misinformation, you know. We're always told we've got to prioritise sleep to catch up when we're tired, embrace naps, a siesta when necesita. And, you know, with pretty good reason, 4 out of 10 of us, 40%, don't get enough sleep. But what about too much sleep? I mean, it's a pipe dream, a glorious pipe dream to sleep more than 9 hours for many of us. But can you sleep too much? What are the dangers of sleep deprivation or of oversleeping? Is it worse than sleep deprivation? What does the science say about all this? To talk us through it, I'm pleased to say that Dr. Charlotte Gupta, a sleep researcher at CQ University, joins us on the line to unravel the mystery of sleep. Thank you so much for making the time, Dr. Gupta.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No worries at all. So you're telling me if I'm getting more than 9 hours, that's a bad thing? That's like my dream.
Yeah, me too. I would love to be getting more sleep than I currently do. But yeah, what we saw some quite alarming headlines that were telling us that sleeping too much was actually worse for our health. And as sleep researchers, we were like, well, that doesn't really sound right to us. It sounds like all it's doing is scaring people. So yeah, we wanted to look into what the actual science was behind that.
Okay. And what does the science tell us?
So there was a few studies that reviewed results of other studies, and they did find that those that were sleeping for more than 9 hours did have a greater risk of poor health and in long term, a higher risk of dying. So one of them had a 34% higher risk of dying in those that slept more than 9 hours, which to us as sleep researchers, we weren't too surprised by. Because it's not that the sleeping too long is the cause of those health problems or death. It's that people that have health problems, especially chronic health problems, are more likely to sleep for longer, to recover, for their body to rest. Medications might mean we're sleeping for longer, having more naps throughout the day.
Yep.
So all of those factors, it makes sense to us that sleeping longer for those reasons. But unfortunately, a lot of the headlines are suggesting that it is sleeping too long that's causing these problems.
Oh, okay. So that's sleep they actually need to recover because of its regenerative effects.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of links between chronic health problems and sleeping too long. Even when we've got, you know, a cold or during COVID, people were often sleeping for longer because they were unwell and recovering. And so, whatever sort of health problems people are going through, it is likely to impact their sleep, often meaning sleeping more. So, we don't have to worry necessarily that we're sleeping too much and it's going to cause health problems. It's more of a sign that maybe something more is going on.
Okay, fantastic. That has made my day. So if I can get that 10 hours, that would be ideal. I don't think I've achieved that since I was 15. What is the ideal amount of sleep people should be getting?
So for adults, we recommend 7 to 9 hours. That is obviously the average recommendation. There are people that we consider sort of good natural short sleepers, so may only need 5 or 6 hours to feel rested, and that's all their body needs. There are also people that naturally need longer, so do need the sort of 9, 10, 11 hours. We don't know much yet about what the differences are between people and the sort of biology of why people might be naturally short or long sleepers. But for most of us, it's the 7 to 9 hours. And probably not surprisingly, a lot of us aren't getting that amount of sleep. We're probably more around the 5, 6 hour mark. But we aren't naturally short sleepers. So it is, we are sort of feeling the effects of that the next day.
Yeah. There are a lot of people you meet who say, I function fantastically off 5 or 6 hours, and you may feel that way from a psychological point of view, but in terms of the health risks down the road of not getting enough sleep over a long period of time, are those people still at risk of contracting those illnesses?
Yeah, so people that are naturally short sleepers can function well sort of the next day and long term with short sleep, but that is only a small group of us. For most of us, we're probably, if we're not getting that 7 hours at least, we are functioning in some sort of sleep restriction most of the time. And we can definitely function. We can get through the day. We might just feel extra sleepy at certain times. But long term, chronically not getting enough sleep is linked to major risk factors for health problems, cardiovascular disease, metabolic disorders, poor mental health, and is a much bigger risk factor for those problems than sort of getting too much sleep.
Yeah. Napping, is that a good thing? I'm a big nap guy.
Yeah, we definitely support naps. Ideally, a sort of short nap. So like you mentioned, a siesta. So the kind of after lunch period where we're naturally sleepiest throughout the day is often a great time to nap. We feel quite sleepy anyway. We recommend short naps. So the sort of 20 to 30 minutes with like a snack nap to make sure that we can sort of relieve ourselves of some of that sleepiness, but we're not sleeping too much that we make it harder for ourselves to then go to bed that night.
Yeah. Is that because sometimes when I have a nap that goes longer than like 40 minutes, you enter, I think it's, is it deep wave sleep? Is that the term?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And you wake up feeling terribly. Do you kind of start the sleep process? Is that why it's harder to get to sleep later on?
Yeah. So a longer nap. So yeah, anything sort of half an hour onwards, really, you are then at risk of going into your sleep cycle, and waking up at any point of that, you're always going to get that effect of sleep inertia, which we feel often in the mornings, that groggy feeling when we wake up because you've woken up from a deeper sleep. We've also then, you know, impacted our ability to get to sleep later that night because our body's going, well, we already had a sleep today. We feel disrupted. It kind of puts off our whole rest of our sleep routine.
Yeah. A lot of people obviously these days do shift work. And they'll, you know, some nights they stay up all night and then they'll be doing the daylight hours the next week. How can they look to get a regular sleep cycle?
Yeah, so for shift workers, exactly like you said, it's really hard to feel like sleep is regular, and it's often sleeping when around shifts, whenever that may be. We still recommend 7 to 9 hours of sleep per 24 hours, but that might mean a split sleep, so it might mean, you know, you have a bit of a longer nap before your shift, night shift starts, and then a longer sleep after your shift, and so you're still getting that 7 to 9 per 24 hours, but it might not be in one sleep. But yeah, shift work, there's obviously a lot of challenges with being able to get a lot of sleep. We've got some sleep hygiene, so healthy sleep practices specifically targeted for shift workers, because there are a lot of differences in sleeping environment and how our body functions when we're doing shift work.
Yeah. Is it possible to ever catch up on sleep? You know, I sometimes think I got, you know, a bad night's sleep one night, I got 6 hours. Maybe if I sleep 8 hours the next day, it'll make up for it. Does that work in scientifically?
Yeah, it's a hard one. It sort of helps us catch up on the symptoms of not getting enough sleep. So we often feel more rested. And if we've had a poor night of sleep, we often feel like we can get to sleep a lot easier the next night because we have more of that sleep debt built up, so our body's wanting sleep. So we can definitely help, I guess, catch up on that feeling of sleepiness, but we aren't ever able to sort of reverse the effects of sleep restriction with one more night of longer sleep. So often people will restrict their sleep across the week because of any sort of reasons that mean we don't get sleep, like work and family life, and then try and sleep in on the weekends. And while that's really good for sort of mentally recovering and feeling less sleepy, we're not sort of making up for the fact that we sleep restricted ourselves during the week.
Yeah. One more question before we run out of time, but I must admit I'm getting a bit tired talking about this much sleep. I don't know if this is something that you deal with researching sleep all the time, just feeling a bit fatigued, but we're struggling to sleep now. There's a rise of sleep apnea and all these things, but generally in the West, definitely people really struggle to sleep. Why is that? Is it, you know, alcohol or other things, or just the general stress of life?
Yeah, I'd say it's sort of combination of all the things, likely a product of us all being more stressed generally about work, cost of living, what's going on in the world, all of these things causing us more stress, which then makes it harder for us to fall asleep. might make it harder for us to get good quality sleep, and then that can just become a sort of cycle of not getting the best sleep we can, which is, you know, quite a negative note to leave on. So it's really around making sure we can optimize our sleep in the best way possible. So look after ourselves, know that we can function if we're not getting that 7 to 9 hours of sleep, but trying to give ourselves the best chance to do that and really prioritize our sleep.
Thank you so much for making the time this morning, and I hope you have a good night's rest.
Yeah, you too.
No worries.
Thank you.
Dr. Charlotte Gupta there, sleep researcher at CQ University.